On 882 6PR, this is Peter Bell.
22 past one, we're talking enduring powers of attorney with Neville Freedman from Freedman, Lurie, Singh and D'Angelo. So if you've got a question for Neville, 9221882. Before we get back to that topic, we were talking about One Direction. And we have been contacted by one of the One Direction entourage. This is what they've told us. I can assure you that I was with the One Direction entourage last night and none of the One Direction vehicles ran red lights, nor was high speed a factor. Fan vehicles chasing us did on occasions run red lights. Now, this person wants to remain anonymous, but we do have their phone number, but that's what they say. So I imagine it has to be Great Eastern Highway. There might have been some red light cameras there, so it will be interesting to see what happens there, but that is what the One Direction entourage are saying, that it was only the fans chasing them that ran the red lights, not the One Direction entourage itself. To Sally in Queen's Rock. Hi, Sally.
Oh, good afternoon, Peter. Good afternoon, Neville.
Oh, hello, Sally.
I just wish everybody had an enduring power of attorney. Hubby had a stroke. We haven't got one of them, actually. Never thinking about such things. And from then on, it was an absolute nightmare. Because he'd had a stroke, but unfortunately he couldn't speak and he couldn't write. So after 35 years of being married, we had to have separate accounts. I had to submit monthly statements. What I'd paid out for him had to balance with his pension book, exactly, to the cent. And I was a nurse, I was not an accountant. And it was a real big headache. And every few months I had to take him up to the guardianship board to prove that he was alive. So it only takes a head injury that you can't get in and manage your own affairs. You know, you can rescind at any time if you're in doubt, you know, if you think the person's not doing the right thing. And also, if it's found that the person who you've nominated isn't doing the right thing by you, then, of course, it was the guardianship board. I think they've changed the name now. They will take over and they will investigate
it. Thank you very much, Sally. Okay. Well, just on, appreciate your call, Sally of Queen's Rock. Just on that, Neville, if there is a problem with an enduring power of attorney or power of attorney, who is the body responsible for adjudicating on disputes or issues?
Peter, that's a bit more difficult to answer. the obligation of the donee is a fiduciary one, and they have an obligation to use the power given to them under the enduring power of attorney solely for the purposes or benefits of the donor.
Okay.
It's very interesting because very often we have family members wanting to do things with parents' property and this and such like, and when I get these calls I say, but you can't do that because there is no benefit at all to the person who's given the enduring power
to the donor.
Yeah. Absolutely none at all. Why are you wanting to do this? Oh, well, when they pass away, then this and this and this will happen. No, you can't do that because
that's not how
it works. No, it doesn't work like that. So Sally's quite correct. And was it Kathy?
It was Sally.
We're dealing with Sally in Queens.
Yep.
And she's quite correct. You can revoke it. But, of course, there are civil claims which may be able to be brought against anybody who does the wrong thing under a power of attorney.
Okay, let's go to Kathy of Maddington. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Neville and
Peter.
Yep. Bit nervous about all this, but...
Don't be nervous.
My daughter has motor neurons. So when she actually first got it, I took out a power of attorney. She's in a nursing home at the moment.
Yes.
But you just can't go into a bank and use the power of attorney. That's what I've found. I've had to go through documentation. It has to be authorised. It's the same as claiming on HBF. I've had to go and get all that authorised before I can actually make a claim.
Sally, that's...
Kathy,
that's most unusual. I had this experience with my parents just recently, and I have been able to address every single commercial activity that you can possibly think of simply by producing the enduring power of attorney. That document is legally recognized instruction by the donor to the world at large that the donee is by the terms of that document appointed to act on your behalf. Generally what they want is to see the original, to take a certified copy of it, which is quite normal. Although most often they will simply operate on a certified copy of the original document. I have never had a problem with a bank or Medicare, HBF, accountants, Centrelink, any of those organisations immediately recognise the effect of a power of attorney, in my experience, and so they should. Mm. And you really shouldn't have a problem with them. That is the very purpose of that document.
What I mean, I haven't had a problem with them. It's just that I've had to do documentation. I've had to get documents signed and authorised before I can do anything.
Signed by who? Well, when you say you've had to have documents signed, who'd had to sign them?
I've had to sign them that taking over control of that.
Well, all you need to do is to produce the enduring power of attorney. They should make a record at the institution that you're dealing with that they have cited the original, if that's what they want. Keep a copy if they wish. And after that, all they need to do is to to activate the account and deal with it. You should need no more than that.
It's the same as she has superannuation.
Yes, the superannuation trustee will respond positively to the enduring power of attorney.
Yeah, well, the thing is, she's never going to be able to work, and I'm going to look into actually being able to close those accounts for her and getting the money out.
That's another discussion for another day. Superannuation, absolutely fascinating.
We might talk about that one next time. Kathy. We've got to keep moving along. Hopefully you can sort that out. It should be a little bit easier than what it sounds for you. Yes. I hope you can sort it out. To Anne in Bayswater, wants to change tact a little bit. Neville, I hope you don't mind. Anne wants to talk about wills.
Not a problem.
Hi, Anne.
Hello.
Yes, fire away.
I'm just inquiring about the price of wills, and we've just got a house through four bedroom, and just a little bit of money in the bank. I'm just wondering, it's very expensive to get a will done.
And there are a number of ways which wills can be done.
I'll just hang up and listen.
No worries, Anne.
Good idea. Is that okay?
That's good. Fire away, Neville.
All right. And look, there are a number of things you can do. You can pop off down to your local store and go and buy a wills kit, and you can complete it and sign it, and it'll cost you $5. And it may work for you and it may not. You can engage somebody to prepare a will for you, and preferably a practitioner who knows what they're doing with wills. And it's going to cost you something between $200 and something more. Why something more? Nobody knows yet what you need or what you want. Some people think that they have a very, very uncomplicated situation when they start a discussion. And I can assure you that almost invariably, when I've said to people, look, budget for $500, it's come out at $1,200. Not because I've done anything, but because when they come in and have a chat, the whole instruction changes. They've got kids that haven't told me about. They're in a de facto relationship when they didn't tell me about that. They said that they needed a will. It turns out that they need a will for each person.
Mm.
It's a very, very difficult question, and it's exactly the same as asking somebody, can you build me a house and how much is it going to cost?
Fair enough, too, Neville. Now, what about enduring powers of attorney? How do you work out the cost structure for those?
Okay, again, this is a document you can look on the internet, you can print it off, you can complete the document, get it properly signed and witnessed, and off you go. Costs you nothing. Problem is, if you get it wrong, it's not going to work. Do you care whether you get it wrong or not? If you do, it's a silly question, obviously, but if you do, then what you should do is to get somebody to check to make sure that the document is compliant, because you only get one shot at it. Once you've lost your marbles, you've lost your marbles. And by the way, one of our earlier callers, very important point, you don't have to lose your marbles. You can be physically incapacitated, and also people who go overseas and have transactions running here.
That's right.
May have enduring powers of attorney so that these transactions can continue and not be prejudiced.
Fantastic. We've got to keep moving along there. Neville, appreciate you coming in. Very interesting, and we thank you for your time.
Great pleasure. Have a good day.
You too. Neville Friedman from Friedman, Lurie, Singh and D'Angelo Lawyers.